Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with a very special guest star, Susan Carter. Susan works with Niagara's Most Wanted Paranormal Profilers, Peter Sacco, as a medium, and I appreciate you actually taking the time to be on today. Susan, how you been?
I'm good, thank you, Chris, and it's Paranormal Profilers, not Wanted. Otherwise, it sounds like a dating site.
I apologize. I knew that. I don't know why I
said
that wrong.
Okay.
So what have we been up to these days? I know we spoke, it's been several months ago now, but what have you been doing?
Well, the Paranormal Profilers, we ended our season 2 on a high note. Everything was great. And now we're just starting to begin taping season 3. Probably within the next 3 weeks, and the first episode's going to be on aliens, so that's going to be interesting.
Oh, that's awesome. That's kind of a unique play for you guys, because you're going out of your normal mix to kind of jump into some of the other paranormal things. It'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, last year, one of the things that we did as a group, Michelle DeRoche from Canada's Most Haunted, and Wayne Mallow, who is horror author in Niagara, and then Peter and I, we actually went to a local winery and we did a Halloween event for them. So while Wayne and Michelle were out, he has a hearse actually, and he had that out in the vineyard, and they were doing tours for the people that were there for the Halloween party, and I was inside reading people, mini readings. I think I read 45 people like in 3.5 hours, 4 hours, and Peter was doing hypnotism to help people stop smoking and lose weight and just getting rid of some baggage in their life, whatever. And it was a really successful event. It's fun. We're hoping to do something like that this year again. And you know, Ohio's not that far from where we are, so, and Niagara on the Lake is beautiful, so you know, maybe you'd like to come up.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, mentioning that, we're doing an event with the Ohio State Reformatory on August 26th, and you guys are welcome to come along if you want. I know it's kind of short notice, but I haven't had a chance to invite you or Peter or anybody. But if you're not doing anything, feel free to pop up. We've got the whole reformatory all night long. We've got the reformatory staff there to kind of work with us, so it's going to be a fun event.
It's interesting. Very nice. So, you know, I don't know what you wanted to talk about tonight, but I just wanted to, I know a lot of people have been asking me about the difference between, you know, psychics and mediums, you know, and even the difference between, you know, what psychic mediums do compared to just card readers and things like that. So I don't know if you'd be interested in that to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, I know that's a good
topic. Psychic
is
able to pick up information from the past, the present, and the future. And as myself, I have both the psychic medium ability, and the medium has the ability to have spirits come through them, to be able to pick up, I say even animal spirits as well. And, you know, having that ability, you never know when the spirit does come through. So I find that I don't purposely go and invite anybody. I know some other psychics, mediums will actually ask the spirits to come to them. Let's say someone lost a father and they'll ask for the father to come through. And I don't do that. I just, whoever comes through, you know. And as a psychic, I often wonder, like, why do you have to talk about the past? Because you cannot change someone's past. Sometimes we learn from the past, but, you know, I think why I have this ability to do so, because I pick up the past with accuracy, and then if I talk to the people about their future, then it sort of, like, validates and I should try to believe about the future, because she definitely knows about my past, and there's no way I could know about the past. I just recently did a house party, and I even asked the lady if she was pulling my leg because of the accuracy. I thought, really, like, I doubted myself for a minute. Am I really doing this that well? And I laughed because I was picking up ridiculous things. And I said, I was talking about her bedroom, that she had coins under her bed and black and white outfits in her closet. And I said, you have some kind of a, like an iguana, like a lizard running around your bedroom. And she laughed and she said, absolutely not. She goes, my husband and I, we work at a bar. That's our uniform. She has, I have coins in my, under my bed for luck. And she said, we have a hairless dog named Rex after Tyrannosaurus Rex. So I was able to see most of that, but that gave her my credibility so that when I spoke about the future to her, she actually did see that. And sometimes, you know, a lot of people that come for readings are having a hard time in life. I haven't met a single person yet that has gone through life unscathed without some sorrow. And, you know, you ask the purpose, like, why even come to a psychic medium? It's there to help. You're there to help people. And I'm hoping that when I speak about their future, that it brings hope and light to them, you know, and keeps them in a happy place.
That makes perfect sense to me. I've had my reservations with mediums before because, as you know, being one, you mm-hmm. either have somebody that is, or you have what most of us catch on to, the ones that really, you know, they aren't. Mm-hmm. But I have to say there's been a handful. And from watching you, you're one of them that I'm quite impressed with the work on. I had the privilege of talking to Lori Johnson, which works with Spirits of Ghost Town recently, and she's also very, very talented. She's similar to yourself on the way she says things. She just kind of, whoever comes to her is who she expresses. Mm-hmm. but there are definitely some gifts out there, and there's big differences between the gifts that mediums have, the gift that empaths have. There's a lot of differences out there I don't think people are aware of. They just kind of conglomerate everything into one thing.
For example, I think why Peter likes me on the show is because he knows, they all believe in me, because they've tested me just for fun. And the last time I was tested was last year when we had to do the armory, which is they made it look like a museum now, and people come in there. There are events still for veterans in the hall and things like that for them to do, but I never knew where I was going. They just gave me an address to go there and then wait there. So I drove to a parking lot to a drugstore, and I'm sitting there waiting, and then they came, picked me up, and took me a couple blocks to now the armory. I had no idea where I was going. But before I left my home, I always take a piece of paper and I think, okay, I don't know where I'm going, but what's coming to my mind? And I start writing. I don't even know where I'm going. And then I remember this time in particular, I was just about to walk out the door. And again, I don't want anyone to think I'm crazy and I'm hearing things, but it's like you hear things, but you don't hear it. You would know what I mean. It's like a knowing that comes over you. And the name Sadie, and it's like this woman was saying, you know, my name is Sadie, and, you know, don't forget to mention me. And what I could visualize when she said that is that she would put the palm of her hand gently stroke up on men's faces, wiping tears away. So I wrote her name down, and I know the story, I wrote that down. So when I finally got to the destination, which was now an armory, I always give my notes to whoever the person is where I'm going, because either the host of a home or in this instance, the curator of the museum. And he took me into this room, and there were huge posters, and it said love letters from Sadie. So there was a Sadie. And she came to me before I even knew where I was going. And apparently she had a fiancé that was an officer. He passed away. And so then she continued writing to just any, you know, all the soldiers, even though she never knew them. And I can just believe that, you know, if you're a young man in the army and, you know, maybe you don't have a girlfriend or a wife and you get a letter, a beautiful letter from a woman, you know, it could have brought tears to their eyes at certain times in their life, and she was wiping those tears away. So I think that's why Peter keeps me on, because he realizes that I have this ability, and it's quite accurate.
Well, you know, that's actually quite amazing that that you can pick up on this is, do you think that she knew they were going to the location, so she sought you out, or do, I mean, being
maybe
from somebody
already
that...
there, you know, like, I don't understand, you know, the concept of time in the heavenly realm, you know, she must have somehow knew that I was coming or whatever, but like I said, that was a test, you know, that, and I think they've done this a couple times for me, and I take it with stride because I know they're just having fun with it. But I was like, yes, you know, I won another test. So, but I thought it was amazing that somehow she was able to come to me. And we're how many miles away? You know, that was in Niagara Falls and I'm in St. Catharines. Uh-huh. So
that's pretty amazing, actually.
And it's funny because one of the B&Bs that we went twice. And we actually didn't air it because it was pretty scary what was happening in there. And the very first time that after I met Peter Sacco, he wanted me to do my reading on camera. You know, I was a little fearful thinking, you know, it's one thing doing a reading one-on-one with somebody if you know, you make a mistake or something like that, or you act like, you know, too flamboyant or whatever, nobody really sees it. But on camera, I was like, oh my God, I don't know if I want to do this. And on the way, you know, it was in another city, and on the way when I was driving, I actually thought I was going to turn around and not go at all. And I think my future was to continue with this because, again, this knowing came over me, and I believe it came from a heavenly realm that said to me, I did not open this door for you to fail, but to succeed. So I thought, okay, fine, I'm going to go. And I've been very successful so far. I'm a registered nurse, and I'm working every day. I'm still 42 years into my nursing profession. I'm going to retire soon. I can't devote completely all my time to my psychic business, but once I retire, I plan to. And as a part-time job for me, it's been extremely satisfying. And so when I went to this B&B again, you know, I wrote down on a piece of paper what I found. And when I gave that to the owner, I mean, they were absolutely amazed at that time. And I mentioned about, you know, somebody, you know, hanging themselves, and I don't want to go into too much detail about that. I don't want to give away where it was because we never did air it. And the strange thing is, the second time when we went, it was even worse than the first time. And the homeowner actually looked like he was going to have a heart attack because of a spirit in there.
Wow.
So I had to do kind of like minor first aid on him. But while we were there, Wayne Mallows, who's horror author that's with our group, he was sitting at the dining room table with the owner, and I was sitting opposite him. And he was just chit-chatting to the owner, and I was just, you know, looking around, you know, the room, because it's very pretty. And all of a sudden, I started sensing the female ghost in the home. And this is one of the people that I sensed the first time. And it's like I could see her, yet I can't see her. She was walking around behind Wayne, and she kind of leaned right in front of him, with her face right in front of his face. He's just carrying on talking to the homeowner. And she put her finger, like her index finger, up to his lips and kind of went like, shh, like this, to tell him to stop talking. Because it's funny, because just before she did that, he said to the homeowner, let me tell you about the owner of this home, the original owner, which she would have been the ghost. So when I feel things like that, when I start having my psychic visions, I started taking pictures of Wayne. I snapped a few pictures. I didn't see this with my eye. I just saw it with my knowing eye. So I looked at my picture, and wouldn't you know it, I tried to actually send it to you, and it wouldn't go through. There is like this white, very weird, kind of misty-looking finger right in front of Wayne's mouth and mustache.
Oh, wow.
He actually was so impressed with that. He actually, one of the last books, you know, that he wrote is called Whitechapel Road. And he put that picture on the back and gave me the credit for the picture. It's amazing. I caught it on camera. there's no other explanation. What could have been in front of him? There was nothing in front of him that I could see. And it looks like a ghostly white sort of finger.
Huh, that's amazing.
And I've actually managed to capture quite a few very bizarre looking creatures on my phone. And I know I told you I'm writing a book. Well, guess what? I still haven't produced, published it yet. It's still in the making. I have so many stories and so many things to put in there. So I'm deciding, you know, I'm going to make them into smaller books. And the first one I think is going to be a picture book of all the strange things that I've taken photographs of. But again, I only take it when I sense something's there. I don't see it. I take a picture and I capture it somehow. I'm starting.
You know, that's really interesting, though. That that's a good way to go about it. I don't think a lot of mediums think about that. Even though you feel something is there and you know something's there, that's a key piece of evidence, so to speak. I that's the easiest way to explain that, and it's a great way to show your ability. You know, because you're taking a picture of something that you feel is there and it shows up being there, then it not only proves you're accurate, but hey, we got something, you know?
And, you know, a few years ago, I was just sitting on the front porch after an evening walk with my dog. And I don't know, I just felt like I need to snap a picture towards my one of my outdoor lights. And as I did that, I thought, no, I think I'm going to take a video camera. Like, all this is going on real fast in my head. And I just started my video camera on the phone. And you can actually hear my voice saying, what's that? What's that? Because something just came right out of the house. And it looked just like a mist. And I think it was a ghost, literally. Huh. And it's only this year that I turned the picture upside down. Chris, you can see a face like a skeleton in that picture.
Wow.
So I call that my porch side ghost. So actually tomorrow I begin my season from May till October where I do porch side readings for anybody that wants to book a reading with me here at home. Because I think my ghost, which I believe I have around this house, is helping the readings when I'm outside there.
Huh. That's actually kind of interesting. You know, that's a good point to bring up, as crazy as it seems to. A lot of people look at the negative because, of course, obviously a part of being in the ghost field is every now and then you run into things that are negative. But there's also a lot of positive ghosts and positive energy that's around there. And sometimes it lingers into your homes or stays in your homes, and it has more positive intent than it does negative intent, if that makes sense.
I believe that, you know, and the thing is, I think sometimes are people haunted or is it actually the house that's haunted? Because sometimes you can move from one house to another house and it's like, how does this happen? Or is it the person themselves that has this ability to bring spirits to them?
Because yeah, I would tend to agree with that, actually. I think that the human ability is a lot more than people think a lot of times.
Absolutely.
And that ability is what keeps your mind open even when you don't know it sometimes. Of course, spirits would know that. This is somebody that I know can see or hear me somewhere along the line, so I'm just going to stick around.
Exactly. You know, because when I built my home 17 years ago, I was the second one in this subdivision. There's no reason that my home should be haunted. And within a week, I felt the presence of people all around this whole area. And it was more on the outside. And it kind of scared me at that point because I think, too, that, you know when something's good and when something's bad. And I always try to tell people that, let's say you have a decision to make and every door opens for you. You have no obstacle in its way and you have a good feeling about it. Then you know it's coming from a good place. But if you want to do something, let's say, or make a decision, whatever, and, you know, obstacle after obstacle is there and delay after delay and you kind of feeling negative about it, then it's not coming from maybe a good place. And I always say that, and again, not to offend anyone's religion, I believe in God. And if you believe in God, you have to believe in the opposite, which is evil, the devil. Uh-huh. So maybe a lot of stuff is coming from that side. And so you have to protect yourself. So what I did when I moved into this home, when I started sensing a little bit of a foreboding feeling, I'm thinking, okay, this isn't good. And I went and I bought a huge cross and screwed it to the brick outside on the patio. And I still have an uneasy feeling always in that one area facing, you know, it's like northwest. So I do believe that that maybe people attract them, not everybody. There's a lot of people that if they don't see it, they don't believe it. So maybe they would be more closed-minded. But I think if you're open-minded and, you know, maybe you have more of an empathetic attitude towards life, maybe spirits want to reveal themselves to you. And it doesn't always have to be your own family. I've had other spirits that come to me, and I think it's they want me to help them because they know that I have maybe that ability to do so. I remember I was doing a charity event years ago, and the lady that I was reading, as soon as she sat down, I said, "You lost a girlfriend like 2 months ago," and she said she did. And I said, "You both had a fight. You never spoke to one another, and she died suddenly." And she said, "Absolutely." And I said, "Well, she's here, and she wants to let you know you can let go of that guilt because she loves you regardless." And this woman broke down crying, and so I'm hoping that in her life, because I never saw her afterwards, I hope she was able to release the guilt, you know, not saying she was sorry, let's say, to her friend that passed. But, you know, that friend that passed, she followed me home. And I thought I was having a dream at night where she crashed through my California shutters. I literally heard the noise of shutters breaking, and she's standing right in front of me, this spirit. And it scared me. And I pointed in the direction where I feel uneasy in my own home, and she just went through it. And I'm thinking, I wonder if I'm feeling uneasy because maybe it's a portal or something like that. I don't know. And, you know, in the morning when I woke up, which I, by the way, was late for work, my alarm clock went off, but it was white static sound. And they often say when it's white static, it's because there was a lot of spirit, you know, energy around, and it's created that on the radio or television, on anything electronic. And when I went to open up my California shutters that morning, when I touched the shutter, because they were all individually custom made, when I went to touch that shutter, it just fell apart. It was broken. The shutter where I had a dream of her popping out, it was actually broken now. So maybe it wasn't a dream. Maybe she really did come to me.
Wow. That's actually, I mean, I would say personally, it sounds like, yeah, she came in for a brief moment at least to. Mm-hmm.
I remember when my mother died in 1995. She, a few years before that, I had a dream where in my home at that time, in my dream, I was looking out, and it would have been southeast, and there were two towers. And those two towers, big balls of fire came down from the sky and just demolished both towers. And I didn't understand what that meant. And I told my mother, who had this gift also, and she just shook her head and said, oh, my God, it's not good. It's not good. And that was it. So I think it was 7 years afterwards, 9/11 happened on September 11. Well, my mother died on September 11, 95. So there was some connection there. Why I should dream that. And often I wonder, why do I have dreams, or why do I pick up things if you can't help a situation? But maybe it's part to help ourselves, you know, to cope even. Who knows? But now I had a senior moment for a minute. I've lost track of what I wanted to tell you originally.
I had a friend that he was a neurologist for a short period in time and studied the brain, and then he worked with a quantum physicist for a short period in time. And they dove into that a little bit because some mediums say that they get images of the future. Of course, you can't change the future, but you get these brief images of the future. They came to the conclusion that the human mind is a unique thing, and that some people have more ability than other people to be able to see these things, because physics puts things in a reality that everything, though we don't see it that way, moves all at the exact same time, the exact same motion and so forth. And that time is a concept that we've put together on this realm, so to speak, so that we can define how we age, how things die, and so forth. But the brain doesn't quite work that way. In his theory, he thinks that the brain is connected to the energies within the quantum level, and that certain people like yourself see these things from time to time because you have a little bit more of an extended ability. Though you can't control it, it just kind of comes.
Mm-hmm. sounds reasonable to me. Yep.
Yes. Very
good. I know that I've experienced some things for the first time, like after my mom died, for example. For 9 months, I was going to the cemetery every day. I had a really difficult time. And I never, you know, sometimes I'd get out of the car, sometimes I'd sit in the car, whatever. But in spring, I planted two little bushes on either side. And so now it's a couple of days later, and while I was there, I was really getting the feeling that my mother was getting angry with me, because it's both my dad and mom are there. And I felt she was saying, it's, you know, you've mourned long enough, it's time for you to be with the living. Don't come here anymore. So it was the first, about a few days after that feeling came and after I planted these little bushes, there was the first spring thunderstorm. And it was about midnight, and I was reading in my bed, and the window was open, and a huge gust of wind just came in, blew the curtains, you know, something like what looked like a spooky movie. Got up, closed the window, laid down again, and I just grabbed the book. And Chris, I don't know what happened to me, but I was no longer in my bed, in my mind. I was standing right in front of my mom and dad's grave. The rain was hitting me on the face. It was like coming down on an angle. I remember looking up at the trees, and it, because it was spring, you know, there were no leaves actually out quite yet, just buds. And when the lightning flashed, you see the trees' limbs looking like scraggly fingers and stuff like that. It was very spooky. And then all of a sudden, you know, the bush on the right side represented where my father laid to rest, and on the left side where my mother was. Well, the one on the left side over top of my mother, the little tree fell over on its side, and a hole, probably about 16 by 16 inches wide, just went whoop. It opened up from the middle, just like huge. And the skeleton hand came out. And then all of a sudden, I gasped, and I was in my bed again. And I'm like, oh, my God, what just happened to me? So in the morning, I drove my daughter to school, and then I went to the cemetery, and I can't, when I first come in, they're right behind a bell tower. It's a beautiful area in the cemetery, and as I'm pulling around, I looked, and I couldn't believe it, Chris. The little tree was toppled over, and there was a huge hole. I didn't get out. I didn't stay. I went home, and I called the cemetery to go fix it for me, please, that the thunderstorm has created some kind of a problem, and they fixed it. It would be on record probably, you know, 22 years ago that they had to go and fix that. So I don't know how that's explained, but that was the first time that ability to be in a different place at a different time.
It was pretty amazing. Though. Yeah, that's interesting. So those are the things that most people don't talk about. I love it when people talk about it, but you know, society's still close-knit on a lot of things, so you have to get with the right people to talk about it and share the experiences and so forth. That's an amazing experience.
A lot of people are fearful of it because they think right away you're doing something evil. There's nothing evil about me whatsoever. I can't help it that I have this gift since childhood, and as I got older, the urge to share it actually came out, because I know I'm there. It does help people. I, for example, if I do a few little events where I'll do craft shows, but big shows, and I might be the only psychic there, because I normally don't go to any psychic events, and people will walk by, and some women or men, they'll say, nope, we don't want anything to do with you. You're evil. And I say, you're entitled to your opinion. And but you know what? By the end of that two-day event, who comes to me? They all come to me. And then they cry after their reading, and they hug me, and they apologize for saying that to me. Because maybe their loved one came through. Maybe I helped them with an issue that they were going through. I've even had some people tell me they're in psychotherapy and I've helped them more than their psychologist. Well, that's not my intent, but it was at least kind of nice to hear that I'm helping people. But it's out of fear, I think, that people have those stigmas. And not only that, like, for example, I know that there are many people, psychic mediums, that are legit. I know I am. But there are other people that aren't, and they ruin it for the other people that are. And for example, I know a lot of people read tarot cards. I myself personally don't. My mother warned me not to do it. I feel sort of like the tarot cards is like a Ouija board, and I don't want I myself believe it's more of a portal for negative forces than for positive, so I never touch them. I don't need any device when I do a reading or anything like that. Things come to me, but I've actually made it interactive. I just use a plain deck of cards for entertaining, and I'll say to someone, for example, if you were having a reading with me and we would be discussing, and I would say to you, okay, if a two of hearts comes up, this is what this is going to mean, and sure enough, I flip over to a hearts. And so it's we laugh over it, you know, and not only that, there's more credibility than what I say, because it's amazing. The cards, I think themselves, are supernatural at times. I'm amazed by what I'm pulling. And when I tell people in advance, this is what this comes. If I get this, this is what it means. And sure enough, it's pulled every time. And even when I ask people, and then I say, okay, now you pull the card then. And if you get this, this is what it means. And they'll pull a card, and sure enough.
Well, yeah, you'd have to be an amazing illusionist and magician to get it every time. And well, the average person
very
isn't.
Strange. A few years ago, I did a house party where I usually bring like several decks of cards with me, just in case, you know, they get ripped or something. So anyway, I pull out a deck of cards, and it has like pretty much like half blue and blue cards and half red. Now, there's no way I would have ever put that combination together. I don't mix my cards like that. And the party had to begin, and I never had, I had only like a few minutes to see it. Is every suit in? And every suit was in, and I'm like, this is the, I'm like expressing some bizarre in my mind, like thinking, what is going on before the first lady sits down? So I went through, I read several ladies, and everything's fine. And then the last lady that I had to reach, she actually had some love issues going on. And I was trying to dissuade her from wanting to do something based on what I was sensing. And wouldn't you know it, when she literally shuffled the cards and put them down, I gasped and so did she. And we both said at the same time, what did you do to the cards? Chris, from having half blue and half red, there were only three red cards in the entire deck. What happened to them all? How did they change color?
That's pretty crazy.
And you know, the three cards were there that represented her, her husband, and another male.
Now,
exactly
that's,
what I was trying to dissuade this person from. So
that's
how
an amazing
did
situation.
Happen? So she actually wrote a note and said that she witnessed that this had happened. And then all the other ladies came in and they said, yeah, your cards were half blue, half red. Chris, I tell you, some things go on that I cannot explain. It totally like dumbfounds me completely.
You know, that's the beauty of the paranormal is some things just can't be explained. No matter how much you apply logic to it, no matter how much you apply science to it, no matter how much you apply anything to it, there are just some things you simply can't explain.
Exactly. And it's like, for example, you want to go someplace, you're in a hurry, and you, where's your keys or where's whatever? And you spend 5 minutes looking for it, and then you turn around and it's exactly where you left it. And you go like, where did they come from? And I believe that that is because maybe had we left a little earlier, maybe something would have happened to us. So God, our you know, our loved ones, you know, angels are trying to protect us. So I think these changes, you know, all these little supernatural signs that come to us, I think you have to be attuned to it and say, okay, what am I doing right now in my life? You know, what am I thinking that all of a sudden this sign came to me? And how do you know if it's a sign? It's when it's sort of like an awe moment in your life, you know, that makes you wonder like, wow, or, you know, why did this happen? And then they go ding, ding, okay, this is a sign. It has to be a sign. Try to figure it out. And the best way to do it is, what were you thinking? What are you doing? What were your plans right now? So,
well, that makes sense. I know that a lot of people, and I don't mock any religion. I'm religious myself, but and I don't generally apply that to the paranormal in a lot of ways. Sometimes I do. But I know a lot of people believe differently, but I try to explain it this way for those that aren't religious. And listeners, this is the easiest way to explain this, is regardless of how you believe, everybody in some way, shape, or form believes in a positive and a negative, a good yeah. and an evil. Whatever you call that, whether it's God and the devil, whether it's a half a dozen other things, we all believe there's black and white, good and evil, positive and negative, and so forth. And if you believe in that, you have to believe somehow that that guides you, if yep. that makes sense.
It does. I totally agree with that. And that's where you have to use your own instincts. You know, somebody may want, oh my God, to buy a brand new car so badly, or a new house, but deep down inside, something's gnawing away at them. And like, oh, I don't know, like, should I or shouldn't I or should I? Don't do it, because it's either, or do you do it? Like, that's the thing too. Like, is it an angel warning you about it? So it's creating uh-huh. the gnawing, or is it evil creating the gnawing because you are of, let's say, hopefully of good, and this fight of good and evil is already happening between you and the other entity. Do you see what I'm saying? It's hard to explain.
Yeah, no. Struggle is something that happens in all of our lives, actually. And we all grasp, or try to grasp, well, where's the struggle coming from? Whether it's self-doubt or whether it's good battling evil or so forth, it's all connected.
Yes, and how do you know if it's self-doubt or it's coming from an evil place?
Something else.
It's keeping you from moving forward in your life, maybe. Uh-huh. Maybe you would have a great life if you took this path. And is that self-doubt coming from evil, not wanting you to have that good path? Or is it actually an angel, or let's say God or someone else from heaven, your loved one, saying, no, don't go there because it won't be a good path, even though you uh-huh. think it will be? This is where it's very tricky.
That's where a leap of faith comes in sometimes. And I know a lot of people I've spoke to throughout the years, some of them don't believe in faith. Some of them wonder about faith. Some of them say, well, faith is just nonsense. But to me, every time I see a decision or a road, I take the time to look and listen a little bit. And then I keep a leap of faith there that if it is something that's good, if it's God, if it's whatever you want to call it, then they're going to direct me a little bit further. So other signs will come along with that, and then it'll show me whether it's the right path or not.
Absolutely. And I've learned from myself that if I want to go, let's say, on path A, and everything just falls into place, that's the way I'm supposed to go. And uh-huh. coinciding with a positive feeling. But if I get sign after sign of, nope, there's some kind of obstacle, then I say, okay, maybe not now, maybe later. And it takes a lot to say, no, I'm not going to do this now. You know, to have that faith to say, I've got to believe in my gut feeling. You know, a lot of uh-huh. people call it gut feeling, which I think is an intuitive gift that everybody has, you know? And people need to concentrate on their dreams as well, because dreams can actually really help guide them too. But sometimes, you know, people get confused. Some dreams are very, you know, discombobulated, and they may seem like they're nothing. But, you know, sometimes share a dream with someone and ask them what they think, because they often reveal, you know, where you're supposed to go in life. They reveal bad stuff too. You know, and why do dreams reveal that? I think it's to warn people as well, you know.
Uh-huh.
My mother had a dream before she died, you know, she didn't even know she was sick, that she looked out the back window and her whole backyard was filled with black water, like a flood of black water about 4 feet tall. And she took away from that dream that she wasn't going to live long. And probably within 2 months of that dream, she found out she had cancer and she died 70 days later. So
I'm a firm believer in listening to dreams. I have a little story every time somebody mentions dreams. When I was about 17 years old, my niece, which was a baby at the time, had moved in with us. We were in this wonderful house, but it was older. My dad and mom slept in different rooms because mom had to take care of a baby and dad had to work 9 hours a day, so he couldn't be woke up.
Mm-hmm.
So he was sleeping downstairs and my mom was sleeping upstairs, and I fell asleep. I was having this wonderful teenage dream. I won't get into details, a little bit, you know, little perverted, little silly things. But smoke came into the dream, just a bunch of smoke, right? And this big, large white figure walked through the smoke and kneeled down to the bed and said, "Chris, it's time to get up. Your house is burning down.
Oh my God.
Tell your mother to get your niece out and wake your father up." So I woke up immediately, and my room was filled full of smoke. And the first thing I did was run into the room and say, "Mom, the house is burning down." Grab the baby. She ran outside, went down and got dad. And sure as all get out, one half of the house, the electrical wiring had started to burn, and it had caught the insulation on fire. Now, it could have been my subconscious, but I've always looked back to that, because that figure was a white-robed male. And as silly as this seems, he looked a lot like Jesus. White-robed male, long hair, a little bit of a beard on him, very beautiful man. And there was a big shrine of light all the way around him. So it was an angel or somebody. Even if it was presenting itself to look that way, I still believe it was an angel or something positive that came in and said, "Hey, look, it's not your time. It's not their time yet. Get up and tell them the house is burning down."
That's amazing. That's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing it. Really, I totally believe in that. And why couldn't it be Jesus? You know, I was asked on a radio show once when I talked about having several faith healings. I was asked, "Well, why me?" And I said, "Why not me?" So why not? That could have been Jesus there waking you up, not your
could have been.
I would like to believe that, or an angel. But
I would definitely. I still do. I very rarely get into my religious beliefs when I talk about the paranormal, but I still believe that there was something there that was a guiding hand, and that guiding hand is what woke me up.
Absolutely. And this is why people have to listen to their dreams, literally, and focus on the good part, even though there might be some negative in it, like obviously the house is burning down, but the fact is that God came to save you, all of you. And that should have inspired you, and I think it has, correct?
Yes. Yes, there's been a lot of stories I could share throughout that. I'm a firm believer, again, even though I don't share it in the paranormal because I keep the scientific and I look at all theories, and I never self-doubt anybody when they want to talk about their particular theories. But I'm a big believer in God myself, because throughout the years I've had no choice but to believe in God.
But you know what's crazy? Like, I have a nightlight, which looks like Jesus, in my kitchen. All right. And I always, you know, when I leave, I check the stove, make sure it's off before I leave the house. And I always look at it and I say a little prayer. One day, a few years ago, I was leaving the house and I noticed a shadow coming off the light. It wasn't on during the day. It's just the plastic shape of Jesus, you know, the light itself. And I noticed there was a shadow, so I took a picture. I've showed it to everybody, and I'm definitely, you know, including this in my book. It looks like Mother Mary standing behind Jesus. It's a woman with a veil. How does this plastic shaped Jesus create a veiled woman? I show it to everybody and people are amazed.
Huh.
Can't get it. And then, you know, I remember I got a new phone a few years ago and I was just walking the dog and I was in a park and I was kind of sad and everything. And ahead of me, the sky was opening up nice and bright, but behind me there were some clouds and things like that. And I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to try to take some pictures. And the dog was moving with the leash and, you know, I wasn't focusing anywhere, just snap, 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 everything. And when I got home, I opened it up. And when you look, it looks like three red balls in the sky. There were no three red balls in the sky. But when you actually look at those red balls, it actually shows the face of Jesus with the brightest light coming out of his solar plexus area. And when you turn that picture upside down, that brightest light becomes a dove in flight.
Wow.
It's the most amazing picture, and I've been holding on to it all these years, and I'm going to put that in my book, and I hope I can get this done this year, because I think it's time people start seeing things like that, you know, to give them hope, because the world's getting pretty scary. Do you know what I mean? And people need to hang on to their belief, and if it's Jesus, that's great, and if it's something else, it's great too. Do you know what I mean? But these pictures, these things that have happened to me give me the strength to go on. And when somebody insults me and says, you know, like you're doing something evil by doing the psychic medium work, I say, no, I know me and I know what God's given me. And no, it keeps me strong to continue.
It's a misassumption a lot of times. Yeah, it's a misassumption a lot of times. I hear that a lot. Ever since I've been in the paranormal, I've heard that a lot. You get both sides. And some people do come up to you and say, hey, look, no, you're messing with the devil. You're messing with evil. You're messing with this and you're messing with that. But I don't think that a lot of people realize that if you have faith on your side, whatever you believe in, whether it's positive and negative, whether it's Buddha's belief, whether it's yin and yang, whether it's God and the devil, if you keep the faith on the positive side of things, then there's not really a lot of evil aspects to it. Sure, you can run into it, and we all have, but that doesn't mean you yourself are evil, and it doesn't mean you apply that. In fact, a lot of times if we run into that, in most cases, we leave it alone somewhere along the line.
Exactly. No, I just found the work on paranormal profilers. I mean, going in and investigating, you know, spirits, you know, the producer, Peter Sacco, he has an open mind. You know, we go in there. Everybody goes in just having fun, trying to see if there is paranormal activity in a place that, you know, is different from me, let's say, helping someone during a reading. But in a way, I kind of help the people that own the establishment, knowing that, okay, I'm not picking up that there's any evilness with the spirit that's there.
Uh-huh.
So it's very interesting. I'm doing this work as well. And it's not only interesting, it's kind of fun, you know. I think it's fun.
We have a lot of fun when we're out on investigations. You learn a lot from everybody that you're out with, and history is a big thing. And I know that you guys concentrate a lot on that when you're doing a lot of your shows. It's very enjoyable. Is the easiest way to explain it. It has its moments. I mean, let's face it, sometimes we're out there, we do long hours, we do 12 hours, we get virtually nothing, we walk around and we barely rest, but at the same time, we have a lot of fun while we're doing it.
Well, absolutely. And it's funny because we did an investigation in a stables. And while the gentleman that owned the stable was talking, you know, I just take random pictures and I don't look at them pretty much till I get home. And when I actually blow up the one picture behind the man, there was no horse behind him, yet you see like a ghost horse standing there.
Wow.
So it's interesting to see things like that. And to, you know, to pick up, like I pick up this and I say it, and then, you know, the other, like Michelle DeRoche or Glenn White, that's on the show as well, then they'll say, okay, that I've picked it up the same. So it's sort of like we're all in the same sync, you know, and we don't do our investigations together. Each person goes in separately. Uh-huh. So it's interesting that way that we're all picking up the same thing. So are we all wrong? Probably not. I'd say no. But it helps. Like the gentleman at the stable was having a difficult time thinking there was some evil things there, and hopefully, you know, when we came in there, we got rid of them as well, and so far I've heard everything's okay. But you do have to be careful that nothing does follow you home, and things do. You know they do. Uh-huh. And they've followed me home here to the extent that my computer and lights and my furnace broke, I think, because of the energy that was here. I have no other way to explain it.
Yeah, I've had several occurrences where things have followed me home, and generally they dissipate somewhere along the line. Different reasons each time. Sometimes you have to kind of give it that push and go away. Other times it goes away on its own, but it's always obvious when something does.
Yes. You know, I had some people visiting for a little while ago, and they were amazed. You know, we'd be sitting in the living room watching TV, and all of a sudden this crash in the kitchen or crash upstairs. Nothing fell, nothing moved. And they said to me, "Is your house haunted?" And I said, "I think so." You know, but it didn't feel bad. And then when they left, you know, a couple times I still felt that, and I just got fed up, and I said, "Oh, for Pete's sake, just go. You know, like, leave me alone. I don't care if you're actually mom and dad right now, just go." And you know, for about 2 weeks I didn't feel anything in the house. So I don't know. I can't explain why they come. I think it's just they know we're open to it. Uh-huh. Not everybody has it, but I don't ask for anybody to come. I don't ever do that. And like I said, during the reading, I never try. If somebody wants, I had one lady get very angry at me because she wanted her husband to come through, and her dad and her sister was coming through. Her husband, nothing. You know, and yet what I said about her husband and sister, there's no way I could know the life that I told her about them. Yeah. You'd think that she'd be happy with that, and she was, but yet she complained because I couldn't get the father. Well, I never asked him to come, and you cannot force somebody, even in the spirit world, to do something if they don't want to do it.
Yeah. Yep, they have to be willing to do it. I like to use the term this week. We got back from an investigation, and I had some friends over that aren't involved in the paranormal at all. And I had a situation similar to what you said. I had a big crash down here in my studio. Oh, wow. And I was upstairs, and of course we all come downstairs. Nothing moved. Nothing happened. Couldn't figure it out. And then one of them looked at me and said, "Is your house haunted?" With a smile on their face. And I just kind of looked at them and said, "This week it is."
So it's funny though why they, you know, why spirits. So I had a huge spirit actually, like my daughter went to university in Boston, and the apartment that she was living in, I felt there was a spirit there. And before I even, when I walked down to the apartment, I said, "Oh my God, you know, I don't really want you living here, because I feel a spirit was actually walking downstairs, or was on a wood pile years ago or something, and severed the leg and bled to death." And the crazy thing about that is the whole week I stayed there, you know, I felt the spirit looking at me when I was sleeping and walking around the room and everything. And when I came home, I saw literally the spirit climbing up my staircase. And so I called my daughter in the morning and said, "Did anything happen yesterday in your apartment?" And she said, "Yeah, you know, in the morning when she woke up, apparently she sensed a spirit standing at the end of the bed." And we looked very much alike at that time, my daughter and I, and her name is Jennifer and I'm Susie. And the spirit said to her, "Susie, help me find my slippers." So I said to my daughter, "I know exactly what he means. First of all, even the people that we know, our friends, always mix up our names. So, you know, I understand a spirit can mix up our names too. That just tells me he's a ghostly human." But when he said, "Help me find my slippers," I said to my daughter, when this person fell and broke their, you know, severed their leg or whatever, he was a guest in the home. He never lived there. So when the spirit said, help me find my slippers, you wear your slippers at home. So he was asking me to help me find his home. That's what he was asking. So I just sensed where he may have lived. I told my daughter to give him the directions. She thought I was crazy, telling her to turn left, turn right, go down 10 blocks, whatever. And she told him, and you know what? She never felt him in there. The lights never flickered, nothing ever again. But she did move 2 months later. Just to be on the safe side. But well, yeah, it's interesting. I love, you know what? It doesn't scare me at all. It's if I say, you know, I might have been a little fearful, it's just for a second, you know what I mean? But never, ever really that scared. I just don't like it sometimes when they do physically touch you. That I don't like. Because in one of the investigations, Wayne and myself and Peter and other people were going down into a basement, and the ceiling I thought was low, but it wasn't. I'm not that tall, so it did not touch my head. Yet in the investigation, while we're down there, I'm just starting to walk out, and I felt a tap on my head, and automatically I thought, oh my God, did I touch a pipe? And then I'm looking up, and I'm thinking, no, there's no pipes up there. And I didn't think anything of it till we got upstairs, and then we're sitting around this table talking for quite a while, and Peter started brushing stuff, you know, like dust off my shoulders. And I looked, and I'm thinking, where did I get this? Like, it looks like dandruff, and I don't have dandruff. You know, when I'm going for a taping, you know, my hair is combed before I put on my black top. Do you know what I mean? Everything is nice and crisp looking. So anyway, I thought to myself, I didn't hit a pipe. I bet you that darn spirit tapped me on the head and left his dandruff, his dry skin or dry whatever, all over my shoulders. It was the most bizarre thing.
Well, let's take the last few minutes of the show and talk about where the viewers can find you here. So that they, I know we've talked about your show a little bit. We've talked a little bit about you, but let's make sure the listeners can know where to find you, find Peter, and know how to get a hold of you if they have any questions.
Well, I think for paranormal profilers, you just have to go on YouTube, and you can join the site if you want. You can always look on Facebook, Susan Carter. My profile comes up as the Black-Eyed Susans, the flowers. All right. My webpage is down right now, so I'm not going to give that, but may I give my phone number?
Sure.
It's 289-696-0445. I'll repeat that. 289-696-0445. So I have to, like I said, with me working every day as a nurse, I haven't devoted enough time to a website and to my books and stuff like that. So, but eventually this is all going to get done. And then I'm hoping to be able to travel further away from the Niagara region, you know, for events and things like that.
Uh-huh.
So I actually read a few famous people, and I actually have a really nice picture of Fabio and me. I read him in 2010 in Los Angeles. And that's like my pride and joy.
I've never had the privilege of meeting him, but he seems
like
he's
actually extremely intelligent, very nice man, very nice man. So that's what I'm hoping to do, is to try to read a few more. I've read some more, but I'm not going to mention them. But I would like to start reading some celebrities and things like that, just for fun. Actually, one of the ladies on our show who comes on Paranormal Profilers is actually Rita Carey, and she's Jim Carrey's sister.
Well, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
well, I hate to cut you off, but we're on the last few seconds here. So you've been listening to Paranormal Truth and Reality. We've had the privilege of having Susan Carter on from Paranormal Profilers. Make sure you look it up on YouTube. She gave her number, so if you need a personal reading or need personal advice, Susan is a wonderful person. I would encourage you to do that. Next week, we will have some wonderful situations on the show, so I encourage you to do that. And I will end it the way I do every single week here in the paranormal. truth is always the reality. You've gotten one of those realities this week. We'll talk to you next week.